Well, praise the Lord.
Amen.
If you have your Bibles this morning, turn with me to Luke chapter 11. I had a different message prepared, and I spent most of the day yesterday meditating on what God wanted to say, and everything was going fine until about 10 o'clock last night. He decided to change it on me. And I was really blessed by the three songs, all three of the songs that Brother James sang this morning, but the first one in particular, because it went right along with the message that God has for us this morning, and then his testimony, some of the things that he shared from his testimony goes right along with what God is saying to us through his word this morning. And it's always good when God brings confirmation of his will and of his word. Out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. Luke chapter 11, beginning in verse 5. And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, friend, lend me three loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed, and I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given unto you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Another one of the Gospels, this same account is recorded in another one. In another place it says, instead of the Holy Spirit, he says good things. How many of you know the Holy Spirit, the gift of the Holy Spirit is a good thing?
Yes. Amen.
Well, he not only gives us the Holy Spirit that ask of him, he gives us all good things that we ask of him. But this scripture is extremely important because he's given the example of a friend who goes to a friend's house and says, I had another friend who showed up on my doorstep unannounced. He's traveling and I don't have anything for him, but I care about my friend and I want to provide sustenance for him. I want to provide a meal for him. So can you lend me some bread? And his friend is in bed, and they had, in the Eastern way, the way they slept, they all slept kind of together, and his children were all around him. He said, it's not convenient. My children are in bed with me, and it's late, and I'm tired, and I'm half asleep. You're dragging me out of sleep. It's not convenient. Go away. Trouble me not. And Jesus said, the man who would not get up and give to his friend because of his friend's need finally got up and gave to his friend because of his importunity. Now, importunity is a word that I doubt none of us used this past week. I doubt many of you haven't used it in the past year. Some of us have never used it in our life. I've never used it in my life except for when I preached from this passage. It's an old English word and it means without shame. He said because of his without shame. Because of his persistence, because he kept on asking and he asked without shame. He wasn't there begging and pleading. He wasn't there saying, I know I don't deserve this. He was completely without shame. He cared about the friend that needed the bread so that he could go and ask of his friend. And Jesus said, that's how it is with your Heavenly Father. Your Heavenly Father wants to give you good gifts. But it is not your need that moves God. It is your boldness to come before Him, knowing that He is a good God, knowing that He does want to give good gifts, and knowing that if you knock, it shall be opened unto you. Now the word in the Greek, when you knock, it shall be opened, that word means knock and keep on knocking. Knock and keep on knocking and it shall be opened unto you. Ask and keep on asking and it shall be given unto you. Seek and keep on seeking and ye shall find. What the Lord is trying to teach us is God does want to give us good things. He has a desire to do it. But He first of all wants us to know that we truly see Him as one who's good, and that if we come before Him with boldness, He will give us the things that we ask. God is a good God. God has power. The devil has power. The devil doesn't have as much power as God by any means. But he is a powerful spiritual being. And the devil can do things in people's lives. And people get all kinds of confused about what's right, what's wrong, who's God, who's not. Who is God? The one who wants to do good unto you. That's how we know He's God. He has your best interest in His heart. He loves you. He cares for you. He wants good things to come from you, to come to you. And when we come before God and we stand boldly before Him and we say, Lord, I know You are good. And so I'm coming boldly to ask of You to give unto me. Jesus said a man who comes like that is not going to be denied. He's going to receive the things that he's asked of the Lord. The title of my message to you today, and I usually have a title that comes from the Scriptures, and God gave me this title, and it's one of the most non-scriptural. You won't find this in the Scripture, but here it goes. Giving up on Jesus, giving up on Jesus is the dumbest thing you could ever do.
Amen.
Giving up on Jesus is the dumbest thing you could ever do. When we come and ask of the Lord, we don't ask, listen, don't hear anything, and give up. Now, sometimes we do that, but that's the dumbest thing we've ever done. Amen? Sometimes we seek, but we don't find. And well, it must not be the Lord's will. I'm just going to kind of give up. Well, that was the dumbest thing we've ever done. Sometimes we knock on the gates of heaven, on the door of heaven, and we don't hear an answer. So we give up. Well, that's the dumbest thing we've ever done. Because Jesus said, ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. Knock and keep on knocking. It's not going to be because of your need that moves God. It's your faith. And your faith is in His goodness and in His Word. I have faith that God is good and He wants to do good unto me. I have faith in that so I can come boldly before Him. Amen? And keep coming. And keep coming. And keep coming. I hear so many people all the time, so I tried that and it didn't work. I tried tithing. I did it for a week and it didn't work. I still got bills up to here. And all I did was lose $30. Tithe tithe and keep on tithing. Eventually, it's going to work. It's either going to work or God's a liar. My Bible says He's not a liar. He's not a man that He should lie, nor the Son of Man that He should repent. If He's spoken it, He's going to bring it to pass. His promises can be counted on. We must have that importunity, that shamefacedness, where we are without shame, and we come before Him boldly and say, God, I know Your goodness means that You're going to provide, and I know that I found it in Your Word when You said it, and Lord, You said it, and You're not going to violate Your Word. In Mark's Gospel, chapter 5, we hear of the story of the woman with the issue of blood. And let me just read this to you. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed Him and thronged Him. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched His garment. For she said, if I may touch His clothes, I shall be whole. In another account, it says, if I may touch the border of His garment. In another account, it says, if I may touch the hem of His garment. She knew that if she touched the very hem of His garment, she would be made whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in Himself that virtue or power had gone out of Him, turned about Him in the press and said, who touched Me? And He looked around to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before Him and told Him all the truth. And He said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Thy faith hath made thee whole. You know, it's interesting to note this woman. This is the one that we hear a lot talked about, how she pressed through the crowd. You know, she had a need. Many people in that crowd had a need. Jesus was touched. In fact, when He said, who touched Me? His disciples said unto Him, Lord, what's wrong with you? Saying, who touched Me? Everybody here is touching you. You're getting touched all over the place. You're the most touched person on the street right now. And you say, who touched Me? But something was different. Those people were touching Him out of curiosity. Those touching were touching Him with need-minded. She touched Him with faith. It was the faith that she had that drew the power of Jesus from her, from Him into her. She touched Him with faith. So we've heard this story many times, most of us. But it's interesting to note that this was not the only time in the Scripture that people said to themselves and had the desire to reach out and touch the hem of His garment. In Matthew chapter 14, this was after Jesus had calmed the storm. Remember the time when Jesus came walking to them on the water, and Peter said, Lord, if it be You, bid me to come to You on the water. And Peter walked for a minute before he sank. This is right after that, where Peter walked on the water and Jesus spoke to the storm and it was calm. And when they were gone over, they went over to the other side of the sea, they came to the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place had knowledge of Him, they sent out into all the country round about and brought unto Him all that were diseased, and besought Him that they might only touch the hem of His garment. And as many as touched were made perfectly whole. So what's going on with this hem of the garment thing? I had to ask myself. You know, it wasn't just the one lady. It was more. There was more people who said, if I could just touch the hem of His garment. Well, in Numbers, in the Old Testament, when God was given the law, there was some instruction about the hem of the garment. in Numbers chapter 15 and verse 38 and 39, speaking to the children of Israel, and bid them that they make fringes in the borders of the garment throughout their generations, not just now, but throughout their generations, and they put upon the fringe of the borders a ribbon of blue. And it shall be unto you for a fringe, that you may look upon it and remember all the commandments of the Lord and do them, that you seek not after your own heart and your own eyes, after which you used to go a-whoring. Well, God said that it was important, the hem of the garment was important, as you look upon it, to remember His law and to remember His commandments and to be faithful unto the Lord. So that might have something to do with it, but it didn't strike me as being a strong enough thing to correlate health and healing with the hem of the garment. It correlated holiness and right living, but not healing. And so as I continued to dig, I just knew there must be something. And then I found in the book of Malachi, chapter 4 and verses 1 and 2. Listen to this. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, all that do wickedly, shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name, unto you that believe, that fear my name, that look to me, the Son of righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings, and you shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. Healing in his wings. That word wings also means the borders or the hem of the garment. These people who had studied the Word and knew the Word of God knew that He would come and literally would have healing in the hem of His garment. They knew His Word. They knew that this man was the promised one of God. If they could just touch the hem of His garment, because His Word said healing would be there. When we come to God, you know, often too many times we pray, Lord, I'd like for you to do this, but if it be thy will. You know what we need to do? We need to get on our face before God. We need to open our Bibles and find out what His will is first, and then pray the will of God. Because God will do what He wills to do. He's just waiting for someone to believe Him. The eyes of the Lord search to and fro across the face of the earth, looking for someone that He may show Himself strong on their behalf. God wants to show Himself as a healer. God wants to show Himself as a miracle worker. God wants to show Himself as one who can deliver from drugs, who can heal marriages, who can do what man cannot do. God wants to show Himself to be all of these things. But He needs a partner on this earth. Someone who will believe Him. Someone who will reach up and take what He's offering and believe Him, that He is a good God. They found it in His Word that the Son of Righteousness would come with healing in His wings or in His extremities or the borders of His garment. And they knew if they could just touch Him there, because it was promised it would be there. They didn't have to spend all week with Him. If they just touched Him where the Word of God said healing would be, then healing would come. Next, I want to take you to Mark chapter 10. Beginning in verse 46, just listen as I read and we'll find out a story about blind Bartimaeus. We're talking about people who, like Jesus said, came to Him with boldness, came to Him with a knowing that God is good and that God will do what God says He will do. Those people receive from God things that others don't. Why does God do this for this person and that for that person? I don't know. I can't begin to tell you. I'm not God. But I do know one thing, that if you come to Him, He said, I will never cast you out. He'll never say no to someone who comes to Him in faith And you can't have faith in what you want. You have to have faith in His Word. Amen? Mark chapter 10, beginning in verse 46, and they came to Jericho. And as He went out of Jericho with His disciples, a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. There's blind Bartimaeus sitting by the highway side begging. People going by. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me." And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, "Jesus, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, "Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee." And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" And the blind man said unto him, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." And Jesus said unto him, "Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Here's blind Bartimaeus, blind, begging. People passing by every day. All he wants is some money. He knows that's all they can give. If they can give anything, it's just a little bit of money. But for some reason, he knew that Jesus had more to give. And so he's there and he hears that Jesus is coming and he cries out, "Jesus, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me." And everybody's saying, "Bartimaeus, shut up. You're embarrassing me. Yeah, I don't want to be standing by some blind man crying out, have mercy on me." They implored him to be quiet, but all he did was yell out the more. Importunity, without shame. He had no shame. He didn't care what he was doing to himself. He didn't care what he was doing to his friends. He didn't care what they said. He knew who had what he needed, and he knew he was the only one who could give it. So he cried out, "Have mercy on me." Now, Jesus, when he finally did touch him, he called him to him. He called him to him, and he said, "Thy faith hath made thee whole." We're seeing a pattern here, aren't we? Your faith has made you whole. Not your need has moved me, but your faith has moved me. Your faith has made you whole. How did we see his faith? Well, we saw his faith when he was crying out, "Jesus, Thou Son of David." Not Jesus of Nazareth. Not Jesus, Joseph's son. Not Jesus the carpenter. But Jesus, Thou Son of David. Now, I haven't got time to go into it, but the Son of David refers to his messianic the mantle that he wore, that he was the Messiah. When he called out to Jesus, "Thou Son of David," he was saying, "Jesus, I know you're the one that has the anointing of God." So he spoke by faith that he was calling out to Jesus and calling out to someone who could do something. And then another thing he did that showed his faith, when Jesus summoned for him, "Bring him to me," he got up and he threw off his beggar's clothes. He didn't expect to go back blind. He didn't expect to go back to begging. He expected that when Jesus touched him, when Jesus spoke over him, that he would be made whole. There's an expectation. There was a determination, and there was an expectation. Brothers and sisters, let me tell you something. We are people who have become so accustomed to putting a Pop-Tart in a toaster, pushing the thing down, and it pops out just like we want it. And it happens in a matter of seconds. We put popcorn in a microwave. We push a button here, we push a button there, we get in the car, and it takes us somewhere. We're so used to comforts and things happening because we say they ought to happen that we've lost sight of the fact that we need to humble ourselves and submit ourselves to God and say, God, I'll do anything I need to do. But I know that when I do it, when I do please You, when I do find that place in You that shows You my faith, that I'll get what I need from You.
Amen.
And it may take more than right now. It may take a week. It may take a month. It may take a year. It may take 10 years. But I'm not going to let loose of my desire to have God bless me. And I'm not going to let loose of my confession of faith that He is going to hear my prayer. He is going to answer. And He is going to accomplish His will in my life. That I am going to be healed. That my loved ones are going to be saved. That my finances are going to look better as I obey Him in those areas. Blind Bartimaeus, he knew he wasn't returning back to begging. He didn't think, man, I tell you what, I better be careful. I better just take this beggar's coat with me just in case. No. He didn't think, you know what, if I throw this coat off, how stupid am I going to look crawling around trying to find my beggar's coat after I go to Jesus and He didn't heal me. He didn't think about that. No, I'm going to Jesus. I got an audience with the King. I got an audience with the Son of David. You know, calling Jesus the Son of David happened about 6 times recorded in the Scripture, and blind Bartimaeus was one of them. It showed that he knew something about the Word of God concerning Jesus. Brothers and sisters, we need to know what God has to say about us, what God has to say about our situation. Jeremiah chapter 23 and verse 5 in the Old Covenant, it says, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth." This amongst many others concerning the Messiah being the Son of David. Blind Bartimaeus understood that. He might have been blind, but he wasn't stupid. Amen?
Amen.
I heard a testimony one time of a guy who had severe mental retardation, and God healed him of it. It was amazing. He said, "I was retarded, but I wasn't stupid." God healed him of that because he believed. And in closing today, one more scenario I want to bring before you. We find this in Mark chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. This was the man sick of the palsy. And the palsy is just a shortened version of paralysis. This man was paralyzed from the neck down. Mark chapter 2 and verse 1. "And again he entered into Capernaum, and after some days it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. He preached the word unto them." Now let me just stop and just say this. It's kind of off the subject. But when Jesus was in the midst of needy people, He healed a lot of people, but the thing that He did the most of was preach and teach. Never, ever, ever minimize the importance of God's Word going out to people. And for people hearing the Word of the Lord, "Thus saith the Lord, this is My will." Never, ever, ever minimize the importance of that. That is so very important because it is the Word of God that will completely set people free. You know, it was when Peter was walking on the water, he had faith to do that because of the Word of Jesus. What was the Word of Jesus to him? Come. One word from Jesus, "Come," had enough power in it to allow Peter to walk on water. One word from Jesus. We should never be ashamed or tired, ever get tired of preaching and teaching and telling people, thus saith the Lord, because it's that which will set them free. I believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I believe that God has right now words for people. I believe in the word of wisdom. I believe in the word of knowledge. I believe that the Holy Spirit can give us things for people that can make a difference in their lives, and we ought to seek Him for that. But that does not take the place of what God says in His written word. We must be willing and ready to teach people. Jesus said, all things that whatsoever I've commanded you. It's the Word of God that makes a difference in people's life. Whether it is the written Word or whether it's a right now Word, all of those words are important. There was a throng of people inside the house, and Jesus preached the Word unto them. And they came unto Him bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four people carrying Him. And when they could not come nigh unto Him for the press, they uncovered the roof where He was, and when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, He said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. And if we skip down to verse 11 and 12, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he rose, took up his bed. This is a man who was sick of the palsy or completely paralyzed. He arose, took up his bed, and went forth from them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it in this fashion. Never seen anything like this. First of all, it was the bed carrying the man. For years and years and years, it was the bed carrying the man. Now the man's carrying the bed the way God wanted it to be. What made the difference? Well, this man had some friends. He had four friends. And these four friends, with the man, he was sick of the palsy. He was paralyzed. It didn't say he didn't have his mental faculties. This guy was not arguing with them all along the way. This guy, I believe, it doesn't say, but my personal belief is he was saying, hey guys, would you mind taking me? I can't get there. Would you mind taking me? And these were good friends, and they said, yes, we will. So they took, and they couldn't get in because Jesus was in the house. It was noised abroad that Jesus is in the house. When we start having a move of God and people in this community start hearing that Jesus is in the house, people will begin to come. We just need to believe. We need to invite Jesus to be in the house. We need to let Him do what He wants to do. Let Him do the things that He does best. Lord, I don't know if You want to do that. Of course He wants to do it. We just need to believe Him. But when it was noised abroad that Jesus was in the house and they heard that Jesus was there, then they brought and they couldn't get in. Remember what Jesus said? Ask and keep on asking. Knock and keep on knocking. Seek and keep on seeking. They didn't show up, so, well, we can't get in. Buddy, it's not your day. Those men knew two things. Number one, Jesus was in the house. And in Luke's account of this, it says that it was said that the power of the Lord was present to heal. So part of the thing that was being noised abroad was not only Jesus was in there, but the power of the Lord was there. And He was present to heal. This guy wasn't dumb. He could put two and two together. The power of the Lord is present to heal. I need healing. Guess what? I need to be where the healing is. And so they were persistent. They didn't say, oh, it's not your day. It's too hard. I can't. All the different excuses that we give while we give up on Jesus. Remember, giving up on Jesus is the dumbest thing you could ever do in your life. Just because it takes a little effort. Well, put a little effort in it. Well, a little effort wasn't enough. We'll put some more. Well, some more wasn't enough. We'll put some more. Eventually, when your faith gets to where it ought to be, you're not waiting on the Lord. Remember, He didn't even know. When that lady pressed through the crowd, He didn't even know the lady was there. He didn't even know about her need. She touched a Jesus that was, at that time in His earthly body, blind to her need. Now, God the Father wasn't. He was seeing the whole thing. But Jesus in His earthly body was completely blind to her need. He saw blind Bartimaeus and He saw his condition when He came up to him. He saw these people letting down their friend with a rope. But you know what? It was not anything to do with a person's need or God's view of the need. It was the faith that did it. Jesus sees everybody's need. But what moves the power of God to flow from Jesus to us is our faith. Amen? So these men, somehow they knew that this man Jesus was in the house and the power of God was with Jesus to heal. So they broke through the roof and let him down, and Jesus saw their faith. You know, your faith will cause you to do something. Your faith will cause you to press through a crowd. Your faith will cause you to keep going even when the woman that had the issue of blood, she had spent all that she had on physicians. But she kept on trying. She finally had an opportunity to touch the hem of Jesus' garment, and she was determined she was going to do it. Blind Bartimaeus, he wasn't afraid of embarrassing himself or those around him. He was determined to get to Jesus. These men were not deterred by the fact that it was going to take some more effort. Even more effort. And even to the fact that they may have to be financially responsible to fix this roof that they just tore up. They were willing to do whatever it took to get to Jesus. That is the kind of faith that Jesus will honor. That's the kind of faith that He will do something about. And it may not be today. It may not be tomorrow. But if you give up on Jesus, it's the dumbest thing you've ever done. Stay in the fight. Stay on your knees before God. Stay confessing that He's going to do it. Not He might, He may, I don't know. He will. My God is good. Confess, my God is good.
Amen.
My God is good.
My God is good.
Hallelujah. Let me just ask you this. Why do we... It really boils down to unbelief. All of our getting upset with God and walking away and getting upset and giving up on Jesus just because you didn't get it when you wanted it, that all boils down to our unbelief. Let's be honest about it. It boils down to something on our end, not His end. He realizes that, and that's what He's trying to weed out. That's what He's trying to get out of us. He's trying to separate us from that unbelief to the point where we come into, Lord, I know You're going to do it. I can rest in that. That didn't happen today. It's okay, Lord. I'm getting closer to my miracle. Brother James got a miracle. Well, praise God. That means my name's moving up on the list.
Amen.
Don't get jealous of him getting something from God. Celebrate with him.
Amen.
He got something you didn't. Celebrate with him anyway. That means your name's getting closer to the top of the list. But that's the kind of faith we need to have. Mine's coming. Mine's coming. Mine's coming. Let me just say this in closing. If you were being chased by an angry bear and you had no place to run, I mean no place to hide, no tree tall enough to climb, nothing to get behind, and all you had was a gun. You pull your gun out and you pull the trigger and the first bullet you try to fire goes click and does nothing. How many of you are going to be dumb enough to throw that gun down and not try to pull the trigger again? Come on now, think about it.
Can't run that fast.
You're going to throw the gun away and say, I have lost all hope in guns. Are you going to think there's a bullet in here somewhere that's going to work? If I just keep pulling this trigger, that bear, this is my opportunity. We need to have that same sort of faith in God. You give up on Jesus, you've just done the dumbest thing you've ever done. It's like throwing a gun down because it misfired on you. Click again, it misfired again. Well, there's four more in there. I guarantee you, each one of you are going to pull that thing until it misfires six times. And then if you're going to throw that gun anywhere, you're going to throw it at the bear. Me, I'm going to hold on to it so I can bash him with it several times. Giving up on Jesus is the dumbest thing a person could ever do. And yet, how many of us have done it? I don't want anybody to be under condemnation for it, but we've all done it. We've all said it doesn't work. We've either said it or we've said it by our actions. We stopped praying because praying wasn't working. We stopped giving because giving wasn't working. We stopped loving our husband because it didn't seem like it was working. We stopped loving our wives because it didn't seem like it was working. We stopped trusting because it didn't seem like it was working. It's easier just to go sit in the corner and have a pity party and feel sorry for ourselves than it is to keep trusting the Lord. But it's the dumbest thing you can do to give up on Jesus. And we're not going to do dumb things, are we, brothers and sisters, anymore? We're going to stop doing dumb things. We're going to stop thinking that, well, maybe I'm not getting it because God don't want me to have it. That's against His Word. If He doesn't want you to have it, it means it must be sin. So, okay, think about what you're asking of Him. Are you asking God, God, take this wife I've got away and give me another one? Yeah, He's not going to answer that one. God, make me the richest drug dealer in Johnson County? No, He's not going to answer that one. There are some things He's not going to answer, but if it's in His will, and we don't have to pray, Lord, if it be Thy will, we need to pray, Lord, show me Your will. Lord, do You want to heal me? Dig in His Word. I have dug in His Word a lot. I have found it is God's will to heal His children. Healing is a children's bread. I'm not a special case. God wants to heal everybody else but me. I'm not a special case. I'm one of His children, so healing belongs to me. A strong marriage belongs to me. Health in my finances belongs to me. Well, God just may want me poor because... No. Find it in His Word. The Lord did say the poor will be with you always, but that doesn't mean you have to be one of them. Amen? That doesn't mean you have to be rich and be a Donald Trump. I'm not saying that. But Jesus made provision that our needs be met. You see it all through the Word. I know that. I have confidence in that. Perhaps you don't, but I've studied. I know. So, in order to pray and keep coming to Jesus, what does His Word say? Find out what His Word says. Be in agreement with His Word. Because He's a good guy, God, and He wants to do what He says He can do. That song you sang to start with, brother, that had all those elements in it. It talked about the drug addict couldn't get free, trying to get free. Cry unto the Lord. Cry unto the Lord. Keep crying to the Lord. Because if you give up on Jesus, it would be the dumbest thing you've ever done in your life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You, Lord God, that You are encouraging us to believe You. To believe You again. To continue to believe. Continue to ask. Continue to knock. Continue to seek. Lord, I pray for every marriage that's here this morning that the husbands and wives would continue to seek You for Your grace. to have that marriage be the best marriage that there ever was. Lord, that parents would continue to pray, believing that lost loved ones would come to their senses and come to the foot of the cross and cry out, "Lord, have mercy upon me." Lord, that sick folks, those that have been oppressed, the Word of God tells us that Jesus Christ was anointed of God, and He went about doing good, healing all that were sick and oppressed of the devil. That healing would come. And Lord, that we would have the faith to continue to stay in the fight until we win. That we would not get out of the fight. We would stay in and believe. Just like in the old Western movies, the sent for help. You don't give up because the Calvary's coming. May not be there now, but you got to have the hope that the Calvary's coming. They're coming, they're coming. That Jesus is coming. The answer is on the way. Lord, that's how we want to be as Your people. Not giving up on You. Not turning to some other thing or getting angry with You. But the Lord, You're on the way. The answer's on the way. We thank You and we praise You. I pray for every person that has a need here this morning, Lord God, that they'll have a renewed energy to keep believing, to keep standing, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, because the answer is on the way. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
I've been fed.